October the 15th, 2012, Los Angeles, California, the United States of America, the Lucy Coleman Studio. This is Pastor John Coleman, and thank you so much for joining me for the webcast today. A little Anthony Evans, sing a little bit of Your Name. Yeah, thank you, Tony. I just want to have a few words with you today. Musing with me on a Monday morning. I used to do this years ago, and I need to start doing it all over again. It's always been a lot of fun doing that. Just thinking about everything. Politics and everything. Dead heat between Romney and Obama. Or should I say Obama and Romney. Still, neither one of them are my favorites. I don't see any reason for going to the polls. But let me share with you something that's truly American. It truly was a sight to see. You know, I live in Los Angeles, and since I live in Los Angeles, we have a reputation for doing things big. Well, I got on my bike on Saturday afternoon after all the construction work on the house was finished. I walked around and looked at everything and said, whew, that took a lot of money. All my money is mad. Took a lot of money and a lot of time, but it's been a lot of years to get that house fixed up. And it really looks good. It feels like I'm living in like a brand new house from the outside in. Got a lot of changes done this weekend. Redid my bathroom. I'll send you guys some pictures. I think it's pretty neat. And I haven't done that in so many years. You guys just don't know the years that I haven't made the improvements. But anyway, all the work is done, and I was just cleaning up little rooms in the house. Still got to clean up a lot of stuff. You know, when you're painting and doing a lot of stuff, touch ups and whatnot. And I was thinking about the voting and the church and everything else. And I just have to share this with you. I have my worship every Sunday morning. I put up an archive sermon because I was just shattered with work around here. No, I didn't watch any football yesterday. None. Did not have time. And in my worship and in my musing and browsing around in my mind, I was looking at so many people that need help. I had conversations with people that had not only come by my house this weekend, because I had people come by. Terrence, the young man, he has some of his friends come by sometimes, and I join them in conversation and talk. And when I'm out there with them, and I was having what I call an intellectual conversations with one of the young ladies. I got to tell you the truth. I started the conversation. I didn't think that it was going to go very far. I said, well, some of these people that I meet, they can't carry a conversation from here to Georgia Street. And there is a Georgia Street in Los Angeles. Don't get it twisted. But I was wrong. Because she, about the same age as Terrence, about 23 years old, handled the intellectual conversation from the other side of the room. And it was actually something that was amazing to me. She said something. She said that she's fighting the fighting of her drawing the wrong kind of people around her because it makes for confusion in her life. She said, "You see, old man," that's what they call me. She said, "See, old school," is what she calls me. She says, "You see, old school, there are certain people that will rob you, take things from you, that will mess up your life." She said she had to protect herself from that. And I told her that I'm vulnerable for that because I'm such an open-hearted, open-minded person. I've always opened my heart and mind to other people. And in so doing, I find myself giving towards their lives and helping them. And I look at it as a part of my Christian ambition. God is always taking care of me, always giving me an opportunity to make things work in my life as I work hard for it. These are some of the things that I'm finding as an older person. It's harder to generate money. I got to tell you the truth. I was thinking, and I said, "My goodness, I should have remained a congregational pastor all of my life, because that way I would have had guaranteed money." But how do you do that? How do you do that in the face of a church that, at least on the surfaces, doesn't appear to want to hear the message that you're proclaiming? I found myself at a place in my life where I couldn't go on doing the things that I was doing because I was feeling no satisfaction for it. I really wasn't. And so my mind was drawn to the 21st Psalm. It's David. God had just brought David through a great victory, a great battle. And David was giving this psalm of praise to God. And I'd like to share it with you today before I get started and go to work and do all of that, because I haven't been taking the time here in the studio. If you hear some static come across, and that's why, because I'm getting a little feedback in my system and I don't know where that feedback is coming from. So I'm going to do the best I can. I apologize if any static starts. There's no way for me to tell what it is, and I don't feel like unplugging and plugging up everything again. This room looks like an octopus's mad brain. And please excuse me if you hear me slurping a little tea, because I drank my my ginseng tea. That's what it is. It's ginseng, because it's very good for me. Let's talk about this psalm. I think it's important to do that before I take you through it. As is my way, I'd like to bring you this, and I'm quoting from a commentator, and I'll be adding my musings towards it. The royal psalmist praised the Lord who displayed his strength in battle, and God always does that. Now, the battle that this country is facing today, let me share this with you. I was down on Crenshaw and 71st Street on Saturday afternoon because they were bringing the shuttle by. You've probably seen it on the news. And me, like millions of other Americans, have never seen the shuttle up close. But I've always been intrigued by it, especially when they had the two very terrible mishaps that caused NASA. But I wanted to see this spaceship up close, this item that had been into outer space. It's out there floating in nothingness. You understand? A real spaceship. Not something seen on Flash Garden or one of these fake movie things. A real spaceship. And I went out there with the expectation just to see the crowd standing around saying, "Ooh, ah, look." But it was different, because I live in the Crenshaw area of South Central Los Angeles. If you know anything about the movie Boys from the Hood, that. In other words, the ship passed right by there, Leimert Park, and I know that it was just a wonderful thing for people to come out of Baldwin Hills and Leimert Park and all the other places in the neighborhoods to see this thing. But what impressed me about my Saturday bike drive down there, because it would have been impossible to drive your car. I've seen people driving their cars and parking it 10 blocks and walking just to see this spaceship, because you couldn't get close unless you were there maybe 2 or 3 hours prior, lining the streets. That's how big it was. And in Los Angeles, we do things big here. It was huge. Well, I saw each of the heat plates that they talked about when the shuttle came back into the atmosphere and how hot it got under there. I looked at each of the heat plates, which had a particular code on there when it was placed on the ship. It was something marvelous. It was something that man had built. Now, this is what it did to us in the crowd. I began to speak with, because there were white people out there. There were Asian people, black people, Hispanic people, Americans, non-Americans. I was speaking with a German man, close to my age. He's been in this country 20 years. He's not a citizen. And he was having a conversation with me, and he was saying, "This is the stuff that makes America great." I said, "Indeed it is." He says, "No kidding." He says, "This is why I came to this country, because this is what we do." He said, "Look at all these people here. Different cultures, different foods, different colors, different blends. Los Angeles is that. It's made up of all peoples." Cheering when that spaceship came over. We watched the guys maneuver a move on the ship so that it wouldn't hit a light, a street light. And man, oh man, just to see how they took the trees off of the street in the middle with a promissory note to replant new ones. The city of LA had these massive plates all throughout the streets of Los Angeles where the shuttle went to keep the streets from caving in where the support was weak. LAPD was out in massive force keeping the crowds back. A beautiful sight where people work with other people. No riotous behavior. It was the thing, the stuff that made America. I get choked up talking about it because it's the America that I remembered. When people could, I mean poor people, rich people, white people, black people, could meet in the middle of the street and have a conversation about a spaceship. No hatred. I guess that's what made me very receptive to Christ when I was a young lad. Because I was raised with this understanding that I was a citizen in a great country and I had a great obligation to thank God for everything and to share that with other people, to share the happiness and the joy. Well, I still have that as I get up these 3 days a week and go to the college and teach. Because I'm looking at young America, the future leaders of America. I'm looking at youngsters that are going to school, and the pundits tell me, for what? Because there's nothing out there for them, no jobs for them. That everything is drying up in America. But I see in the students that attend the classes, not only my classes, but all the classes and all the schools around the country. That's hope and anticipation. Everybody can afford to pay for the college, of course not. And everybody can afford to get the school loans, because that's not going to take place. I mean, it's just not. Nobody has money to pay anything back, but why do the students continue to go to school? Because of the hope because of the dream that America is. Now, I believe that that dream can be accomplished through the means of hard work, discipline. And I also believe that this hard work and discipline can be rewarded by a God that is alive and a God that still cares about the citizens of America. Though I think that most of the citizens of America has turned her back on God. But as I read the psalmist's word in the 21st Psalm, David expresses his joy in the victories. He praises God for giving him the desires of his heart, for giving him good things, including a crown of pure gold, possibly the crown of an Amorite king, because that was a battle that they were fighting, and for answering his prayer in life. The victories that God had granted him, along with abundant blessings, my goodness, and the joy that came with that. In verses 1 through 6, it says, O Lord, in your strength the king will be glad, and in your salvation how greatly he will rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with the blessings of good things. You set a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked life of you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you've placed upon him. For you made him most blessed forever. You make him joyful with gladness in your presence. These are wonderful words. Wonderful words. For in this prayer we see some beautiful, beautiful things. First of all, we see him, I guess if you wanted to make this an outline, rejoicing in the strength of the Lord. David knew that it was not his strength. It was God's strength that brought him through. The space program, everything that America does, it is God's strength that has brought us through, not man's. Humanism teaches you that it's man's accomplishments and that we must praise man for those accomplishments, but that is not the truth. The truth is that everything that man has conquered and had take place in his life, God has done it. God has brought that to pass. And that is why I love God and I thank God for what he's doing, because he always brings his promises to pass. That's what makes him the God of our salvation. That's what makes this Christianity work if it's real, because Jehovah God has taken our lives and brought us this far. There's a song that we used to sing in church, and it was called We Come This Far By Faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his every word. Yes, that is how we've made it. But in America these days, we're trying to place our trust in men. Men can't do anything for us. The psalmist had the secret of life. He knew that God would do it, that God would sustain it, that God would take care of it. Now, I'm trusting God for that in my life. I had to make some changes in my life around here. Let me share something with you. I've been living in this house since 1974. I mean, this house is old, old house. I'm living in one of those old houses. It was built way back in 1926. It needed some improvements, some real heavy improvements. I had to get it done. My car needed some improvements. I could have purchased a brand new car for what I got my car repaired for. But I don't want a brand new little car where my back is killing me, where I'm scared to death to drive it. You know, a lot of people are buying these little cars in Los Angeles. And I'm telling you, maybe I'll be one of the last persons to do that. They're too little for me. Oh, no. I used to own a small compact car. I asked a guy yesterday, I was getting some gas in my car, and he was driving one of those new Fiats. And he said that I could have bought that Fiat for $12,000. I could have bought one heavily equipped for about maybe $16,000-$17,000. You know, because when you get it packed with everything, you pay for it. Close to, about, I think he said, about $19,000. I could have bought a brand new Fiat. I could have done it. But no, I elected to keep my car, pay. My motor on my antenna went out. I mean, on the Lexus, on the SC430, you know how much it's going to cost to get that repaired? It's going to have to wait. If I want to listen to my radio, I'm going to have to pull the antenna up. The car is 12 years old. But I love the little car. The car is perfect for me. It is a perfect ride. It rides beautifully. Costs a little bit more for upkeep. Things are getting rough. I had to upkeep my house because the house was falling apart. What good? Some of you may say, what good for? Why? Because there's a certain pride that you take when you have a home. Certain pride that you take in things and in the people that you love. I have friends around me that talk to me. I was talking with a friend of mine, Eric, and Eric is one of my new friends. And Eric was, you know what I told Eric? I said, I want to thank you for helping me, man, because you've helped me decide to do life not only in the solo lane, but not to listen to people that's not on the same track I'm on. I would listen to people that's not on the same page that I'm on and try to reconcile them to my page. I don't do that anymore. The only page that I'm trying to be reconciled to is God's. I want to be on target with Him. I want to be on speaking terms with Him. Ah, the psalmist was that kind of a person. Ah, my goodness. He said that God gave him the desires of his heart in verse 4. May He grant your heart's desire and fulfill all of your counsel. Wasn't that beautiful? The psalmist praised God for giving him things. Look at verse 6. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him joyful with gladness in your presence. See, that's what he thanked him for. He also thanked him for giving him the desire of his heart, for giving him things, for including pure gold. Like I said, probably from the Amorite king. You go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 30. It says, and he took the crown of their king from his head, and its weight was a talent of gold, and it was a precious stone, and it was placed on David's head. And he brought out the spoil of the city in great amounts. That was victory. And I want you to keep in mind that that's the reason that God did not allow David to build the temple, because he was a man of war. It was blood and killings on his hand. God chose David's son, Solomon, to build the temple. And Solomon wasn't altogether perfect and right. But God had his intentions. See, for those of you that come to my website on a regular basis, because I shut down my Facebook, I was getting too much play on Facebook. I didn't want the play on Facebook. No. I want you folks to listen to the word of God. I want you to listen to the word of the Lord. I want you to take the word of the Lord at heart. That is what I want you to do. I don't want to have this friendly relationship with you. I don't want to have that. I want to see you trusting in God when all hell breaks out, because that's what I have to do. But look at what I'm doing. You know what I had? This is what I was thinking about doing. I was thinking about foregoing the upkeep of my house, holding on to the finances and the loan, and having a great time with the rest of my life. But then I had to stop. I said, wait a minute. The most precious thing that God has given you, John, is your home. It's not about there going out there trying to date and remarry and find somebody that I can like. And there's a lot of pretty ladies out there, I'm telling you. I've recently met a lady that is just a knockout to me. But I have to, I can't do that. I can't do that. It would take up too much of my time, too much of my life. I know what God has called me to do. This is what God has called me to do. And he's called me to do it every day in my life for the rest of my life. Why? For the praise of God's glory. Why? For the sustaining of many of your lives out there. Because times are difficult. And the best way for you to have a relationship with me is to have it through this means. I think that it's as you come and listen to a pastor talk to you every day and tell you, you know, keep heart, don't lose heart, to know that everything is going to be all right. Now, I want to share with you some of my thoughts on some things that's happening. And let me move another computer in here. I have to bring the Apple right here. I was looking at USA Today, and in the USA Today deal, they have Seahawks CB Richard Sherman taunts Tom Brady on Twitter. Basically, what it is, he got a picture up there and he said, "You mad, bro?" Yeah, you know. But what I see in this thing here, because of what Tom Brady stands for, Tom Brady is supposed to be the American quarterback. The Dallas Cowboys used to hold that thing. But the taunting back and forth that these football players do, and the braggadocious, prideful things that the quarterbacks do, black and white together, this taunting and stuff only makes for war. It intensifies the game. It takes away the fun of the game. Because now another element has entered into it. It's some of the things that I've heard about this country when they talk about, you know, when I hear things like, if Obama loses, there are going to be riots in the street. Well, that's a threat of somebody tearing up my America over their racist attitudes. In other words, we only want a black man in office, give him his 8 years, or we're going to tear up your country. You know, this is ridiculous. When I look at other news clips, here's one, Obama Romney in dead heat. Well, what would you expect? This is the most important, presidential election in the history of this country in years. And I'm just glancing down the headlines in USA Today. Kobe Bryant of the Los Angeles Lakers rips former Laker teammates. This makes for competition and hatred. We need to come to our senses. This is not the kind of fair play that used to be out there. I'm seeing it more and more in the news. They have an article here in USA Today on the Electoral College and all of that. My goodness, now you can go to your computer and here it is. Obama has at least 303 electoral votes and right now and because those are the votes that wins the presidency. It's not the popular election, it's the electoral votes that wins an election. But money also wins, and there's an awful lot of money out there. I just want to say to those of you that are true believers, not those of you that are traditionalists, not those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, and I'm just trying to straighten this mic out here because the mic, now I know where all of the bad sound is coming from. I think I just saw it. My mic thing that I have has fallen off track. Well, I'll end this. Let me try to. Oh, gosh. I hope I'm not making too much of a disturbance for you folks, but I'm having microphone problems here. I know where the static is coming from now. Well, I hope that's not too disturbing to you. But let me say this. The Bible tells us that we need to love. That's been a theme that I've been talking about. And if we're following anything but God's word, that love is impossible. I want to ask you to pray for our nation. The individuals in the nation, I don't think prayer for them would do any good. God has to intervene, bust in their lives, and make something take place. But pray for our nation on a daily basis. I will try to have a decent Bible study for you coming up real soon. You know, it's very early here in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, and I have such a day set ahead of me. And it's, you know, I'll tell you the truth. It's rough. It's rough for me getting up, going to that college 3 days a week to teach these classes. It is, because I have to train my mind to go in a certain area where my mind has not been trained to go for years. My mind has been trained to deal with theology, to teach it in its purest form, to teach it to people that are interested. By the way, those of you that are coming out to my Bible study is back on target again. And I am looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday this week. And homiletics class also. I'm going to start that back up because I think we've taken long enough of a break. And I finally got the house straightened up over here. I have to water. See, I got to do things like water my lawns. My lawns were just destroyed. Just go on with my life. Thank you for your prayers for me. I'm doing fine. And that's about it. You will see some changes to my website from time to time because a lot of things have changed. And you will see the effects of those changes with certain pages disappearing. And as I get more time, I'm going to try to keep that tight because that is a work and a half just keeping the website actively going. Well, God bless you. It's been a great 30 minutes, and I hope that you got something out of my rambling. You know the drill. Stay in the Word.